You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Angelique Roche, and you are listening to the premiere of Creative Quarantine, a show that was created out of the idea that if creatives could have a conversation about what they're doing in order to inspire others to be more creative, to be more positive, and to talk about how they're adjusting, growing, building, and sharpening their skills, or practicing self-care and realizing what it takes for them to be healthy in the new reality of self-isolation and social distancing. And so I was really excited because today we had an amazing performer, actor, singer from Star Trek, Discovery, Rent. He's just absolutely amazing, but also an advocate for so many folks whose voices need to be amplified and uplifted, Anthony Rapp. And we talked about everything from gaming to cats to cooking to self-help. And I'm really excited and can't wait for you to hear this amazing interview. Well, yeah, go ahead and listen.
Yeah, we are live. Hi, guys. Sorry, this is our first time doing it. And I love the fact that everyone's here. I'm Angelique Roche. And this is, well, to that way, Anthony Rapp. And this is Creative Quarantine, which is a creative way of saying stay home, but also you are isolated, not alone. And I'm really excited because about a week ago, I just had an idea that creatives were all sitting in their apartments, not having an opportunity to gather and talk and be in conversation. And as we all know, human beings are people who want to be in conversation, right? And so I'm really excited because thanks to Mocha Mama, shout her out, who had an amazing conversation with Lin-Manuel Miranda on Zoom, I responded to asking Anthony to be on a call with me to talk about not just what he's doing, the work that he has done, but also like talking about how he's adjusting his creativity, how he is isolating, self-isolating, and supporting the efforts to stop the spread of COVID-19, and how he's supporting other artists, what he's reading, what he's watching, how his cats are doing. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
So you're in New York, so that everybody knows.
Yes, I'm in New York City. I was so when things started going really when the lockdown started increasing, or the degree of lockdown started increasing, I was actually in LA. And I'd been planning on being there for about 3 weeks. And I was taking good social distancing measures, but like we weren't on total lockdown. So I was, being careful, and then everything did start to really lock down. And then I came right back to New York, where my fiance Ken already was here, and he's super prepared with like getting all stocked up. His mom raised him very well that way. So I came home to a really well stocked apartment. We have our three cats, and I got back to New York about a week ago, and it was pretty nerve wracking to be going through the airport at that time and being in an airplane, knowing, and seeing that there were still, even then with everything going on, there's still so many people who didn't seem to be taking it seriously. There certainly were people who were taking it seriously, but then there were plenty of people who weren't. So that seems to still be the case somewhat in different pockets of the country, but anecdotally looking out my window in New York is very, very quiet. like in terms of like what's happening on the street. So I think a lot of New Yorkers are taking it seriously, but still, I think there's, you know, plenty of people who aren't. So I've been trying to use my social media channels to broadcast as much good and sound and relevant information as I can. My mom was a nurse. She passed away 23 years ago. So, you know, illness doesn't scare me the way that it understandably scares many people. She instilled in all of us, her kids, you know, a sense of like, as long as you take care, you can fight most illnesses pretty well if you take the right steps, kind of thing. So, but the whole point of all of this is to stop the spread for the people who have the underlying conditions or in higher risk factors. And there's still, as much as it doesn't seem to affect younger people as much as older people, there still are plenty of cases where young people are being pretty badly affected anyway. So it's just a good idea to take care of all of us by doing everything we can to stay home as much as possible, with full understanding that many people can't because of their work, because of, you know, there's essential work that needs to be done. There's other situations where sometimes it's almost impossible to stay home that much. But the more of us who do, the better it is for all of us. So it's like, that's kind of thing that I've been trying to do my best to spread that information as much as possible.
Which I love, right? Because when you do have a platform, you have this ability to push it out. And I love that you have chosen to push it out in this way. You know, for you, like, how has it been? Like, what have been your self-quarantine practices, social distancing practices that you've been able to implement since you've been back in New York? And how has that been affecting your daily routine?
I mean, literally, it's just Ken, my fiance, Ken and I and our cats in the apartment. And he's a really good cook, so I'm very lucky for that, too, that he's been able to take care of us very well with what we're eating. You know, I've been still trying to, on a personal level, try to find a balance of, like, I really want to stay up to date on what's happening, and I really want to, you know, amplify the good and relevant information and try to quash the misinformation as much as possible. But I was finding that I was having a hard time concentrating on anything else. And I think it's also important for mental well-being to find other ways to find other things to put your attention on. This is going to be happening anyway. So yeah, I think it's important to stay up to date and informed, but also like maybe parcel it out a little more. So I've been trying to do a little bit more of that, especially in the last 2 or 3 days. Ken and I, you know, we spend time every day watching some of the news, but not a lot of it, for instance. But we've also, like, he had never seen The Comeback. So, you know, we're big RuPaul's Drag Race fans. So he knew Ru's, you know, line, hello, 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 but he didn't know the source of it. So now he does know the source of it. But for those of you watching, if you haven't watched The Comeback, it's an HBO series that Lisa Kudrow starred in, and she's chef's kiss amazing in it. So we watched that whole first season, which is 13 episodes. That was really delightful. But it's you know, watching anything on TV is very strange right now too. That not older shows like that, but watching like anything that has any kind of commercials, it's like watching commercials is like a alternate reality
situation. It's a little surreal, right? Like you're like, is this the reality? Do you want me to go to the store? You don't want me to go to the store right now. Which is really interesting. You bring up a very good point, which is a lot of folks are trying to figure out how to stay healthy, both mentally and physically. Like, what have kind of been your practices on keeping that together? Because as a creative, as an actor, that's part of the job.
Yoga has been a big part of my life for quite a number of years. And so there's a wonderful teacher here in New York who's been doing Instagram live classes. So we've been doing those. There's also a teacher that Ken actually is a certified yoga teacher himself, although he doesn't teach professionally. But the studio in California where he trained, they're doing some streaming classes. So we've been, you know, availing ourselves of that. A friend of mine who's a personal trainer that I've been working out with in the last year or two, he sent me like a home exercise list to do, kind of thing. So I think that's certainly very important to do that kind of stuff. And yoga for me is a great thing because it's both mental, it's all encompassing. It's meditative, it's physical, it's meditative, you know, centering, healing, challenging, all that stuff.
Yeah. And I love that. We were actually chatting before the call. It's everything for season three.
Of Star Trek Discovery. Yeah.
We've
wrapped production. They're in pre-production or post-production rather, which involves editing, visual effects, sound mixing, composing. That's, you know, a longer process. So we don't know yet when that's all going to be complete and when we're going to be, streaming again, but it's all in process.
So for you, because creatives, I don't know if it's the same for you as it is for me, like we have to create, like there has to be something that we're kind of doing every day to, not necessarily with a long run or with an actual objective, but just kind of hone into practice. And I think part of this is I want folks to get ideas about how they can still be creative in their homes and as their home. So are there any other projects, either personal or professional, that you're working on right now? And how are you kind of keeping your craft sharpened, as they may say?
Well, it's funny because, at the end of a long 9-month process of filming a TV series, I'm a big believer in downtime also. And so, you know, part of filming a TV series that's incredibly challenging is it's 13 scripts that have to be downloaded and then erased and then downloaded and then erased, essentially, because it's like it's literally like feeling like you have to clear the cache in your brain to be able to learn the new thing. So I was actually, you know, really looking forward to, you know, not having to be as actively creative and actively using that part of my brain. I didn't anticipate this would be the reason for a different version of the kind of slowdown of that. But so I haven't felt that kind of hunger myself as actively, because I've felt incredibly fulfilled by the work I did get to do over the last 9 months prior to this. So, but at the same time, there is another little side project that I'm involved in, which is I was invited by a wonderful journalist and editor named Swapna Krishna to contribute a short story to an anthology that's going to be published. Well, I don't know now if that schedule is changing of when it's going to be published, but it's called Swordstone Table, and she and her co-editor invited a bunch of writers to do stories that are gender bent, people of color, LGBTQ, et cetera, just like taking Arthurian legends, King Arthur legends, and putting modern and all those other kinds of spins on the characters and stories. So I've written a story for that anthology, and I'm still awaiting notes on it from them, but that's a project that's like a side project that is in the works, but currently the next step is when I hear notes back from them, then I can do revisions on the draft that I did.
I love it. That's incredible. I can't wait. On the flip side, we talked about the comeback. So clearly that is something that you're watching. Yes. I want to also be able to spotlight, like folks are like, give me Rex for Netflix or Hulu, yeah, or anywhere else to watch. Yes, Netflix, Schitt's we're Creek. All watching.
Schitt's Creek.
Okay, so that's one. So we're watching Schitt's Creek. What else are you reading, watching, listening to right now?
I've been reading. So Robin Hobb is a wonderful fantasy author that I think is like better than George R.R. Martin for me, in terms of her characters just feel more fully human. There's a little more heart. There's still intricate plot and kind of world creation, all that stuff, and cool dragons and magic, but it just feels for me like it's much more grounded. So there's a long series of books that she has that are sort of individual trilogies. I'm reading the second trilogy now, and the book I'm currently reading is called The Mad Ship. So that's what I'm currently reading. But I recently read like The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, which was really intense. And really, I mean, that was before all this happened. I don't think that would be a book that I could read right now because it's so tough. It needs to be tough. It's about a really tough subject. But so, yeah, I think it's important to find things that, you know, whatever people like to read, but I just like to read things that are that feel authentic and feel well-rounded and certainly well-written, but human.
I love that we're getting these really great comments. Thanks, Mark, for he commented about commercials being definitely surreal right now. And then you got a lovely comment from Mint Queer that says you're adorable and we love you. So I just want to make sure everybody's watching. We are getting the comments in real time. Oh, cool. And if you have any questions for Anthony, I kind of have my Twitter open right now, but make sure you're tagging me so I see them, as well as you can comment on the YouTube. If you have any actual questions, those are coming to us right now. In the live stream, we'll try our best to get to those and answer those questions. But I did want to kind of just think about, you know, a lot of us are kind of reassessing this moment, right? Like what this moment really means, how we find this silver lining in this ability to step back, albeit forced step back.
Yeah.
Is there for you kind of any creative hopes that you have in the silver lining of what this space and time gives you as an artist and what you hope may come out of this in the end?
Well, I'm not sure that this speaks directly to the creative part, but you know, I think one of the things that's getting exposed in this moment is the sort of soft underbelly of our society's structure, economic structure, certainly the gig economy that so many people live in, the paycheck to paycheck economy that so many people live in, you know, in the arts in particular, people who work in theater, film and television who aren't, you know, the movie stars and the huge names, if we're working, we can make a pretty, you know, fine living. But if we're not working, a lot of us have to get, you know, side jobs. And a lot of those side jobs are in the exact industries that are also being directly affected, like, you know, restaurants and cafes and coffee shops and, you know, even temping in an office. That's, I don't think there's many temp positions that are available these days. So I've been talking to, I know the Actors Fund is there for people in the entertainment industry. There's also, I just saw Netflix is apparently pledging a lot of money toward people. I don't know if it's directly to their employees or if it's to general entertainment industry folks, but anyway, the silver lining may be that there, hopefully this could lead to some systemic change. You know, I don't know, with the people that we have in Washington, some of them don't seem interested in that at all. It's always like the social change almost always precedes the political change. You know, social change movements are always grassroots, and then it takes a long time for the politics and the courts to catch up. But I'm hopeful that this is exposing even more vividly the inequity. You know, I'm really grateful to the basketball stars who are helping support the workers in the arenas that are closing. The big question that I've been asking too, and I'm a part of a Twitter group that we're all like activists, and you know, we have a wide range of people in there. There's some politicians and there's some scientists and there's some actors, and we're trying to always pool our information and resources and trying to think of new ways that we can try to make an impact. And you know, one of the things is like, how do we try to help make this make real change in the long run. Of course, there's the really urgent things that have to happen right now. The really urgent, you know, we got to put the fire. The house is on fire. We got to put the fire out, and then we can build a new house, maybe.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like when you were talking about the fact that people are putting in exceptions for businesses that have over 500 employees, which seem to be some of the biggest folks who are not actually paying paid family leave. Who are not actually doing what needs to be done, or you're looking at the fact that people have to be able to access these things by getting tested and there aren't enough tests. Like there is a lot of structural issues that are kind of happening right now. We have a couple questions. I don't want to forget. Everyone is now very excited to ask you questions. Hello from Ecuador. This is from Maria Augusta Menendez. She says, have you thought about writing a new book?
I'm not sure about a book per se, but writing the story, being asked to write the story that I wrote for Swordstone Table, it was the first fiction writing that I'd done in many years. I wrote my memoir, you know, which is also now a number of years ago. I find writing really fulfilling, but also really challenging. But I was really encouraged also by the process of writing the story and how well it went in the end. And the, you know, the feedback that I've gotten from my, you know, my beta reader, you know, like Ken, my fiance, the supportive feedback that I got was, has been really meaningful. So yeah, I've been kind of kicking around some notions about things that I might want to write about, but you know, in this moment, it's a little strange to, for me to think about like story ideas, because what's happening right now feels so urgent.
Yeah.
And it sort of feels like it's taking up any space in my brain that way. But there was a woman last night, there was a Zoom meeting that Ken's friend organized with like his community. So like we didn't know very many people. And if there was like 30 people, and one of the people that he invited was a professor of writing. And then she shared some of her own writing that was just sort of like free writing about what is going on right now in this moment. And that was really moving to hear her express just the complexity and the, you know, the sort of day-to-day reality of just like the combination of all these things that have, that, that are coming in to our awareness and our consciousness. So yeah, I would say I would certainly not rule out that I could write another book. I don't know. I think my next attempts will probably be shorter forms first, but who knows?
You're getting lots and lots of comments. Greetings from Finland. Just want to say thank you for this chat. Much appreciated.
Finland. I love that. It's so international.
This is so great. Chuck Collins, Anthony once came to a bar at Bleecker Street several years ago when I was working the door. And then after watching Star Trek Discovery, I turned to my girlfriend and said, that guy was in the bar. Love your work.
Thank you. This is Ferdinand.
Oh, hi, Ferdinand. So from the Blurred Girl, what music are you listening to? And do you and Wilson ever spontaneously burst into song?
Yeah, music I'm listening to, like when I'm reading, if I'm listening to music, I can only listen to like classical music because I can't listen to music with lyrics while I'm reading.
Would you start singing? I couldn't imagine that you would.
I'm sorry, would I start singing?
I couldn't imagine you'd be distracted by lyrics at all.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah, go probably sing along. So Wilson and I, but not just Wilson and I, Sonequa, Mary.
Yeah, y'all had a... You had an amazing car karaoke, right?
Yeah. But people break into song on set all the time. Like, you know, so one of the silly things, I don't remember even how this happened. Somebody in our crew in the camera department, I think, like evoked Billy Ocean somehow at some point in a conversation. And so now they make, and I do a pretty good Billy Ocean. Caribbean Queen.
It is everything that I thought it was going to be. Billy Ocean and his every song sounds like the same song with everything that the 80s needed.
Yes. So so every once in a while, one of our focus pullers, his name Stretch, is this tall, skinny guy. And that is actually his last name is Stretch. And he kind of looks like a stretch. Anyway, so he's like, he'd be like, we need it. He'll point to me and I'll just, you know, on the set, just go, Caribbean Queen. Now we're sharing the same dream.
Oh, also love that song. As like, that was one of my favorite songs. It was like that and like, what was it?
Suddenly, and Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car.
Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking about.
All right, youngsters on the internet, you know, you got your task set out for you. You're like, Billy Ocean, who? I'm sorry, right?
Oh, I'm sure we could give them a full playlist of music that they have not heard of. We just got another question. I think I just missed it. Where to go? I think someone was asking whether or not, like many other artists have been doing streaming concerts, if you were interested in doing something similar. Yeah. I've seen musicians streaming performances. Any plans to do a benefit live stream of any kind?
I mean, I'd have to figure out how to do it because I don't really play an instrument. I could sing, do some acapella stuff. I just personally would like not want to do a whole thing of just acapella. So if there's some way that I can find some good tracks, maybe. But even then, I don't know. Like, I'm play. I'm doing this on my iPad. How do I guess I would play the good tracks on my Bose system. I don't know. You know, so I would certainly be happy to try to figure out a way to do it. Yes.
I kind of want Star Trek Discovery the musical now. And yeah. I feel like, well, you know what? That answers one of my own personal questions.
Yeah, we do too. We have there are several of us who would be happy to do some version of a musical episode. I mean, there's been a little bit of singing. Doug did a little bit of Kelpian singing. Mary and I had that little moment in season two where we sang a little bit of Space Oddity, you know, but I think there's room for more, certainly. Yeah, we could land on a planet where everybody communicates in song. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe the only thing they've ever gotten is just, you know, musicals. And so therefore that's how they communicate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Checking to see if we've got any more questions. Someone did ask, is there a skill that you'd be excited to try and learn now that you have more time on your hands?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm getting old. the skills that I really love, I've really devoted a lot of time over the years to developing. Like, I think poker playing is a skill. So I've been doing that. Some video game skills. I got some video game skills. Although video gaming right now is not super appealing because it creates so much adrenaline that I'm not sure I want to be flooding my system with any more adrenaline right now, you know? Because I think that we need to also be mindful of that. But I do enjoy that. But yeah, I don't know what other skills. I'm not super interested in knitting or crocheting. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but it's just like those kinds of things don't totally appeal. So I'm open for suggestions.
Oh, so guys, you got to make sure you put suggestions in the comments. I will make sure you get these comments. That's an interesting thing you brought up about gaming. We did get a question on Twitter the other day about gaming. What are your favorite games? Are you retro versus modern? Console versus PC? These are all, personally, as a person who is a gamer, I have a Switch and a PS4. I'm not a PC person, so I understand these are very important questions for people.
Yeah. I'm a PS4, PS3, PS4 person. I grew up going to arcades, so I have a deep love in my heart for old school games like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Super Mario Brothers in the arcade. But I never had a Nintendo 64 back in the day or anything like that, or Super Nintendo, anything like that.
Skills.
I agree. So a number of years ago, I bought a piece of video art that came with, I didn't know it when I bought it, but it operated off of a PS3. So that, I hadn't played any real video games in a while. My friend gave me a game on I was on tour and on my Mac, my laptop, Dragon Age.
Okay.
That was the first. I'd played Baldur's Gate. I don't know if you remember that game. So from D&D days. So Dragon Age was the first sort of modern next gen game that I played.
Okay.
And it was super impressive. And then that led me to Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3, which are two of my all time favorite games. The Last of Us.
Someone just asked if you were going to be playing. Are you ready for The Last of Us 2? So I don't want to forget.
I'm ready, but I'm not. I don't know if I'm. It's a
lifetime sin. I'm playing The Last of Us right now. Like,
you
literally.
Are?
I know the whole plot. I know the whole plot. I know the whole plot of Left Behind. I'm replaying the game because clearly I'm a masochist. And I started replaying it probably 3 weeks ago. So this was before self-isolation, and now I can only play it in like short spurts.
Yeah, it's such an intense game. I mean, it's like, it's designed so well, but it's like so immersive and intense and sad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see how some of that could be kind of cathartic maybe, but I would caution people who are looking for a game to play right now, I would just have, you know, content warning, trigger warning labels with that game at the moment, especially. You know, I love Bloodborne. Bloodborne is one of my all-time favorite games, and Dark Souls. But Bloodborne even more than Dark Souls for me. It's just, it's so incredibly atmospheric. That's a game that I think it's out there enough that I think if you like things that are intense, but it's not like it relates directly to what's happening right now, but it kind of does a little bit, you know, because it's about a society that's kind of gone into quarantine because there's this outbreak, but it's different. It's not viral. It's more metaphysical.
That's the reason why I haven't played Death Stranding yet. We have two more questions. One, I don't know if you can answer, but it's from Todd Howard. I met you and many of the disco cast at the con in Birmingham, UK, mm-hmm. in 2018. You were also friendly and generous with your time. Excited for season 3 of Discovery. Is there a season 4 coming?
We hope so. I mean, we don't know officially yet, but, you know, I believe so. But, you know, who knows when it's going to all be able to happen? Because the next step for that would be the writer's room, which they can do virtually, but it probably slows that process down a little bit, I would think. A little bit, because, you know, when you have people physically in a room bouncing ideas around, there's always a little bit of a lag when you have a Zoom meeting of 15 people. But maybe you can get into a good rhythm with a writer's room with that. You know, I'd be curious. I think there are writer's rooms right now that are going for shows that are in production or pre-production. And I'm curious to see what their experience is doing Zoom writer's rooms.
Yeah.
But anyway, the however long that would need to take to write, you know, at least start to really plan the season. And then when all this settles down, when production can start gearing up again in Toronto, is a big question mark. You know, there's so many different scenarios being posited by the experts, and I do trust the experts because everything that they've said so far has proven to be true in terms of how this thing works. And, you know, the reason that places like China are able to start to reopen things is that they had such an incredibly intense lockdown for a while. But their lockdown, that they can achieve a lockdown a little more easily in general because of societally, they have a system that's more, you know.
Draconian.
Yeah. Just, you know.
That's so a better word, but yeah.
It's easier, you know. So it's certainly possible to slow the spread of this thing if everybody kind of does the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, South Korea's approach has been so effective because they did so much testing so early, and they were able to do the thing of testing, isolating, quarantining. They really, you know, stopped the spread effectively, and that's happening in Hong Kong. That's happening in Singapore. But their measures are really kind of intense. They kind of have to be, which, you know, in the West, for better or for worse, all this sense of like liberty and freedom and all that stuff is kind of the enemy of taking these kinds of measures and steps.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, finding that balance is really hard, but it's the only way that it's going to really slow down.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think a lot of people are going to learn a lot of new skills. A lot of people are going to learn a new way of communicating with folks, just kind of, as you mentioned, the Zoom, the writer's room, how folks are, because, you know, it's very physical, right? Like, people can tell when someone's got an idea, or like being able to jump at a computer is very different than like doing this, and people actually seeing you when you're now fighting in a 15 window Brady Bunch screen. Which is a different world. Oh, we have another question from Austria.
Cool.
Thanks for the stream. My question is, could you recommend a musical to listen to that maybe not everyone has heard of yet?
I mean, I love Next to Normal. That's also pretty dark and intense, but it's not, there's no part of the material that, you know, is particularly about this moment. But I think a fair number of like hardcore musical theater folks probably know that show, but I don't know about internationally how well known that show is, Next to Normal. Yeah. That's one of my favorite shows. That would be one of them. But again, I would say going in knowing that it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But, you know, beautiful.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of also like why I'm so excited that we're having this conversation, and why these conversation series are going to go on. It's heavy, but it's beautiful, right? There's still good parts of this if we are able to work together to be able to pull back to hopefully save other people. And that goes, and you did this, you retweeted this really great image the other day about changing the way we think. And being able to control that which is internal, and that, you know, thinking about, not thinking about isolation in a way where it's like, man, I'm stuck inside, and thinking and going, man, I get to spend more time with my cats or my fiance, or I can read through my entire Netflix catalog, you know, watch through my entire Netflix catalog. You know, for those out there who are listening, who were kind of just thinking about this, you know, you've had such a cool, diverse career, particularly for someone who is so young. And that includes being
a not that young.
Hey. I mean,
thank you.
But like even being a barista and like understanding the gig economy and shifting back and forth. And I think that's also like a perspective that I want people to know, like, you are an actor, you are a performer, you have done some incredible things, but also you have done gig, you have done hospitality and service, and you understand kind of the inner workings of what if someone told you, hey, you can't come to work today. So like in your brain, like, how are you keeping that up? What have been your tips and tricks to remind yourself kind of daily on keeping yourself grounded?
Well, I mean, I say this from a place of real privilege. So it's, you know, what I have to say about that is going to be quite different from people who are living paycheck to paycheck, you know. So I hesitate to say anything that's kind of blanket, you know, about that. I'm fortunate that I've been at this for 39 years, almost 40 years professionally. And in that time, I've been able to, you know, save up some money so I could withstand any downturns. You know, I had, you know, after Rent happened, I had a really wonderful explosion of work for several years. And then I had a year, full year of no work, zero work. And, you know, I would have like a little bit of residual income, they call it, when like people rented the old DVDs or the VHS, you get a little money from that. So I was able to ride it out, but it was scary. So part of the thing I've always, you know, anybody who lives in this showbiz world, you have to be willing and able to try to weather those ups and downs. So I'm from a place of privilege. I'm in a position where I can withstand a downturn for a bit. But I recognize that there's so many people, and some of whom might be listening to this right now, who can't. And I don't have any kind of magical words to say. I will tell you that there are people in our community that we are trying to figure out ways that we can help. You know, part of the challenge, I think, always is scale. Like, if you have a foundation, if you have a charitable effort, how do you put it to scale where it can really make an impactful difference? And how do you find the people who need it the most? And how do you avoid having money that's coming in to support that effort go to the right places? Like, these are the kinds of questions that we're trying to figure out the best ways to approach this kind of thing. So I assure you that there are people in the community that I'm in touch with, that we're trying to figure out things we can do. Again, the Actors Fund is a current resource that is available to people specifically in the entertainment industry. And they've existed for decades. I don't even know how long, you know, and they've lent a helping hand to many people over the years. And it's not just when it's called the Actors Fund, but it's not just for actors. It's for anybody in the entertainment industry. I know organizations like Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, even though that's their name is, you know, their initial mission was primarily around AIDS and HIV support, but they've proven themselves to be incredible fundraisers, and they've donated money and efforts toward, you know, Hurricane Katrina relief and, you know, different kinds of other disaster relief. And they're also making grants available. So there's a mobilization. It's still pretty new, all of this, but there is an effort to try to help, you know, all boats rise together kind of thing. I'm that's one thing that's been very much on my mind personally.
And that actually answers my question, because I was going to ask you right before we started wrapping up, like, where are you supporting? Like, who are you supporting? Like, what are the different things you found? Because I know that's, you know, a lot of us are asking, how do we help, but also stay inside? And that's, you know, that is a big question.
Yeah, Yashar Ali, his Twitter handle, I believe, is at Yashar, Y-A-S-H-A-R, put together a GoFundMe campaign that's it's partnering with the Robinhood. I don't know if it's Robinhood Foundation or Robinhood Organization, another organization that's specifically for people in the hospitality, you know, restaurant and those kinds of gig employees, raising money that will go directly to them. So that's an effort that I'm really happy to see happening and happy to support. Like I said, the Actors Fund is certainly one. I'm, you know, I don't know about this, the federal stimulus stuff. They've got to do stuff to have rent relief as well as mortgage relief. I mean, there's so many more, and certainly in cities, there's so many more renters than owners. And if the owners of the buildings are getting mortgage relief, then their renters should also be getting rent relief. So these are the kinds of things that I'm agitating for. You know, I'm also, whether this is not a charitable thing, but it's for the good of all thing that I'm trying to do is amplify as much as possible the sound and cogent scientific information that's out there. You know, I just posted a video like in the middle of the night last night that I came across from a BBC interview with a scientist just explaining in incredibly simple terms exponential growth, which I saw another article that talks about exponential growth is just literally, it's just hard for the human brain to comprehend because we're so used to things being linear. 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 1 = 3. We really think so easily in that exponential, it becomes literally mind boggling. So it's understandable that people have a hard time grasping it. But, you know, if it's true that one person can infect three people and then each of those people can infect three people, the numbers get so bananas, and that's why we have to stay home.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to disseminate. You know, it's, again, it's not like a direct gift charitable thing, but I think it's a really important thing. I'm also trying to disseminate, you know, the hard won wisdom of my registered nurse mother. You know, my friends who've been contacting me, who've been feeling ill, you know, and again, like I defer to any doctor ever, but my mom's advice and counsel always proved itself to be right for me and for the people that I observed her taking care of. So, you know, trying to demystify the notion of being sick as being so frightening, although I understand that it's frightening, but that there are steps that people can take to help themselves stay, you know, get well. So I'm trying to share that information, you know, again, always saying defer to your doctor, of course.
But I love that. And so for all of those who've watched today, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Please keep commenting, pressing on. But Anthony, for those who want to like follow you, who aren't already following you, where can they follow you? Where are you at? I know I love following you because you really do. And I'll say this as a person whose family, I do have a family member in the medical field. It is so important for folks to be sharing valid, real information about taking care of yourself. So, you know, where can folks be looking out for you?
On Twitter at Albino Kid and on Instagram at Albino Kid 1026. I also, this Albino Kid 1026 is also my PSN handle on PlayStation. I don't do a ton of interaction on there, but if and when I'm back up in gaming, like that's a, you know, place. I'm actually just got approached by Community, which is a new platform that I'm going to be launching like today or tomorrow. I'm like still putting together the pieces of that, but it seems like a really wonderful way to be a little more direct contact with various community. Like you can have discrete communities within the larger community. So people who are interested in talking about Star Trek, people are interested in talking about COVID, people are interested in talking about LGBT issues, people are interested in talking about, or people who are, you know, only interested in talking about their local stuff. They can break it down in all these different communities. And so that's a new platform that and I'll be launching that pretty soon. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I know a lot of folks seem to really enjoy hearing from you. So I appreciate it.
thank you so much. And please, everybody, take care and stay home as much as you can.
Creative Quarantine is hosted by Angelique Roche. It's produced by Angelique Roche, Sarah Storm, and Matt Storm. Our logo is designed by Aaron Leffler. New streaming episodes are available Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on AngeliqueRoche.com/creativequarantine. Podcasts are made available the morning after each live streamed episode wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and visit us on Instagram at creative.quarantine and Twitter at creativeqtine. Please send this to a friend who needs a little artistic company and stay at home if you possibly can. We'll see you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.